Romans, revelation of the righteousness of God, the power of God unto salvation. And I encourage you, just as much as you can, linger there. If you get too much news, just set Romans over against it. So when the news gets to you, just hit the clicker and do Romans. Romans 7 told us that the flesh, all flesh, can't attain to the righteousness called for by the law. Romans 8 teaches that the Spirit, that gift of the exalted Christ, that the Spirit gives a life that can be set in opposition to the flesh, that flesh that could not be trained to righteousness by the law. Being under the law is always about working with the old you. That's one of the reasons you don't want to be under the law, can't be under the law, because we have to work with the old you when you're there. Walking in the Spirit is always about working with the new you, the new person, born of the Spirit of God. Walking in the Spirit is about working with that new creation. Last week we talked about just the phrase walking by the Spirit, just doing something by the Spirit. And the main point that I tried to make last week is that walking by the Spirit is not about some new source of communication. Walking by the Spirit is not about communication source whereby you get information and instruction about what God wants. From the car he wants you to buy, the job he wants you to take, the person he wants you to marry, the place he wants you to live. Walking by the Spirit is not a source of information about what God wants from you. Rather, walking by the Spirit is about transformation. Transformation of the new you into the image and fullness of Christ. Walking by the Spirit is about living that life that the Spirit causes to be born and regenerates within us. So I want to take a couple of weeks to consider a couple of things that come with life in the Spirit. When the Spirit puts life in you, the Spirit puts life in me. Just consider a couple of things that come with that life in the Spirit. And today I want us to talk about power. The Spirit is often associated in the Scriptures with power. Just a few phrases. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's Jesus himself in his final words to the disciple just before he ascends. That when you will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes and you will be my witnesses. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power. The spirit that God has given is a spirit of power. You will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't abound in hope because all the circumstances are looking favorable and you can have an optimistic take on it. You abound in hope by the power of the Spirit, that he would grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner person. Many, many passages that just associate the Spirit and power together. So I want us to think a little bit about that today. We tend to recognize that doing something in our own strength is not good. We'll maybe say something like that when you're sharing around the coffee table or talking with your friend. You might be saying, I'm learning that I shouldn't try to do blank, whatever's in the blank. My relationship with my friend, my job at work, take care of my own health or my health needs. I'm learning I shouldn't do that in my own strength. try to solve some problems, project some new course, will say something, I'm learning that I can't do that in my own strengths. I think that's a correct and good lesson to learn. Our own strength is corrupt. Our own strength is marked by the pride, by the conceit, by the selfishness that characterizes all of our flesh. So doing something in our own strength always gets tainted, gets colored by that corruption that's in our flesh. And our own strength is often just plain not enough. There's just many things stronger than you, stronger than me. So you use your own strength, you're going to lose. You're just too weak in your own strength. So in our own strength, we get overcome. We get mastered. We get conquered. We lose. So, and I think this is a good conclusion for us to come to. We don't want to live our life in our own strength. It's a good conclusion. I hope you make that conclusion, that you don't want to live your life in your own strength. But we often talk as if an alternative to in our own strength is that we need to learn how to let go and let God. I don't want to do it anymore in my own strength. I want to let go and let God. Those words are perhaps good in one sense, but I think their rather passive feel that's found in them is not the best way to talk of such things. To let go and let God often tends to have the feel of, I'm going to sit down and let God take over. Let go and let God has that feel of, I'm not going to do anything. I've already messed it up, perhaps. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to let God do something. Let go and let God has a feel to it of, I took my turn is over. I'm going to let God have a turn. Let go and let God tends, I think, too often to have a replacement feel to it. I'm going to replace me with God. I'm out of the game. I'm going to now sit on the bench. Hopefully God will take my spot. He's my replacement. I think it's better to say, I'm not going to do my stuff in the weakness of my flesh. Rather, I'm going to learn to do stuff by the power of His Spirit. So it's not a change of subject from me to God. No longer me, but so I'm out, God's in. Not a change of subject. Rather, it's a change in me who is doing the things rather than doing things by the weakness of my flesh, both corrupt and too weak. I'm going to learn to do things by the power of His Spirit within. So let's think a little bit about the power of the Spirit within us. I want you to think about the power of the Spirit within you. I want you to think a little bit more generally for a second. I want you to think about things that wield power in your life, in your circumstances, in your happenings. What kinds of things wield power in your life? Things that have power over you. At the end of Romans 8, Paul brings up some things. He mentions them in a list. Here's the things he brings up. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. I think that's sort of a summary list of things in life that can cause trouble and sorrow, difficulty and challenge. The central meaning of tribulation is pressure. So whatever presses on you, This puts pressure on you. What are the things that will raise your blood pressure? You know, they just press on you. That's tribulation. Just presses. Crowds you. Distress, I guess you probably know what that is. So things that cause worry and stress. From your neighbor to your job to your health, just things that are distressing, cause worry and stress. Persecution are things that hurt you. Attacks made on you with the intention, perhaps, of hurting you. So people and things that are powers that are against you. Famine, obviously about need and lack. Could be something you need and you don't have. Could be something you're afraid you're going to run out of. Don't know if you're going to run dry. Nakedness is about vulnerability. Exposure. Shame. Peril. Things that are dangerous. Pose some type of threat. Often responded to as fear. Danger makes you afraid of what could happen, of what the threat there is. Causes some anxiety. We could get hurt here. I could get hurt here. This might not turn out very well. And the sword, of course, is things that can kill you. Take your life. There's nothing on that list that we want to have happen to us, right? You pull out your goals for your life. I bet none of those words are on there. I'm not looking for tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Yet everything on that list can happen. Everything on that list does happen. Paul says this about believers when they encounter these things. Paul says this about believers when they experience these things on the list. In all these things, and he means the things on the list, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. That is an amazing statement, is it not? It is a statement in which resides claimed considerable power to overwhelmingly conquer all of those things. I mean, who has the power to overwhelmingly conquer when there's tribulation, when there's distress, when there's peril, when there's famine, when there's nakedness, when there's the sword? I mean, who has the power to overwhelmingly conquer in those types of happenings, in those types of experiences? If you were to ask me what kind of results tend to happen in people's lives from those things, what do they cause to take place in people's lives when they take place? I would likely answer with words that never sound anything like it causes people to overwhelmingly conquer. I might say these kinds of things tend to cause people to be isolated. These kinds of things will cause people to withdraw, hide. These kinds of things cause people to be discouraged and depressed. These kinds of things cause confusion for people. They often breed bitterness and resentment. They often give rise to accusation. In general, I would say when people experience these kinds of things, people tend to get beat up. They tend to be overwhelmed. These kinds of things tend to master people when they come. Actually, it seems like these kinds of things in general tend to overwhelmingly conquer people. People don't conquer these things conquer people. Overwhelmingly so. These are the things that rule people. Things that when they happen reign over people. They hold sway over people's lives, or emotions, in actions, in words, in responses. They tend to control people and master people. fact, it seems that when people encounter these kinds of things, when they encounter tribulation and distress and persecution and famine, they don't even need the whole list. When people encounter these kinds of things, they tend to lose, not win. And they often turn into sore losers too, by the way. So I want to be a little bit careful here, because if you're a Christian, I think you need to learn how to be a good loser. I do think that's important in the Christian life and walk. When you're part of a deal where you're going to find your life by losing it, you need to know how to lose, right? When to follow Christ, it's necessary to give up everything. You need to know how to be a good loser, because you need to give up everything if you want to follow him. To be a lover involves laying down your life for another. So if you're going to be a person who's a decent lover, you're going to need to learn how to lose. So I think to follow the Lord, you do need to learn how to be a good loser. If you're always a sore loser, you'll struggle. So you need to die with some grace. Having said that, I think we often lose to what we should conquer. We lose in areas where we should win. You are not supposed to lose to tribulation. You are not supposed to lose to pressure. That doesn't mean there isn't any pressure. That pressure doesn't come. It means you're not supposed to lose when they come. You're not supposed to be overcome by affliction, by distress, by persecution. Again, it doesn't mean those things don't happen. It doesn't mean nobody will ever attack you, nobody ever have anything against you. It means when they do attack you, you're not supposed to lose. You're not supposed to be overcome. Famine, nakedness, peril should not control you, should not master you when those things come your way. Now I know, I think you probably do too, a great deal of silly things, a great deal of wrong things get said about the victorious Christian life. Often those words, victorious Christian life, tend to be used amidst claims of getting rich, staying healthy, getting all your dreams realized, something like that. Too often, the victorious Christian life is supposed to result in you not experiencing any of these things. Victorious Christian life will keep you from tribulation and distress and persecution and the whole list. So a lot of silly things are said, a lot of wrong things. Yet the scripture often does use victory words when it talks about the Christian life. Here's a few examples just from Romans that we're reading right now. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. It's a victory type of word. Who's reigning? Who's ruling? Those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, also in chapter 5. Sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Towards chapter 12, where there's lots of exhortations, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And we could go on. Lots of talk in Scripture were victory words. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. These are verses that speak of reigning, of mastering, of overcoming. That's an important concept in the Christian life and walk. To be alive, as we all know, involves encountering a great many things. To be alive, just to walk on this planet, will cause you to experience a great many things. I want you to ask yourself right now, among all the things you encounter, all the things you experience, and a great many things, of all the things that you experience, what comes out on top? What comes out on top? I want you to ask in your own life. Experience a whole bunch of things. What wins? What conquers everything else? What things rule in your heart? Fishing? Does that conquer everything else? That rules. Give me a list of 45 things. If fishing is on the list, fishing wins. So what rules? What wins? Of all the things you experience and know, encounter, what for you, what comes out on top? Does the spirit come in second place when there's distress in your life? Things that are causing worry and anxiety, distressing you. Maybe a great deal of stress. But does the spirit come in second place because the distress wins, conquers, rules? Does fear and anxiety from current perils take top honors for you? The whole schedule is going to get rearranged according to the current peril, because that wins out. Sorry, Emily, I was going to have coffee with you, but peril just trumped that. Now, whatever is winning in your life, whatever comes out on top, ask yourself, why is that winning? If the distress is winning, ask yourself, why is the distress winning? If the peril is winning, why is the peril getting top honors? Maybe you have some perceived injustice that's been done to you. Is that conquering you? If it is, ask yourself, why? Why is that injustice that's been done to me, why is that coming out on top? Is that the strongest, most powerful thing in my life? This injustice, that it conquers everything else, conquers now my perception, my response, my take, my feelings. It's the most powerful thing in my life. It's conquering everything else. It's on top. Is the temptation to some sin the most powerful thing in your life? So I'm not asking about whether or not things are present in your life or ever encountered in your experience. I'm asking you about, among the whole host of things that you experience, what wins? What's the most powerful? What's on top? Paul does not think that Christians know no tribulation, no distress, no affliction, no nakedness, no peril, no sword. Paul doesn't think Christians aren't supposed to experience those things. He thinks those things are experienced. He thinks those things are indeed known, encountered. He does not think they should win. He thinks that when you receive the Spirit, you receive power. And then he thinks things of the Spirit should win. We live in an age, I'm sure as you are all aware, where we are encouraged to think more along the lines of what happens to us than about what it is that we can do. We're all taught to play the victim card. So we learn how to whine about not getting what we deserve, what we're entitled to, what would be justice for me. We complain about any area where we feel disadvantaged, right? Others are privileged over me. And I feel unsafe here. How could I possibly function? So we're encouraged to do the victim thing, to think about things that happened to us, that others have done to us, how others have treated us, what our situation is, what our circumstances are doing. Why aren't we getting what we deserve? And as we think about all those things then that happened to us, It's like we're justified. Of course I'm a total loser. So much against me. There's so much that's pressing on me. So many things attacking me. Of course I'm losing. I want you to know that the goal is not to have a life free of any sorrow, of any trouble, of any difficulty, of any challenge. You can make that a goal, your goal will not be met. So fortunately, that isn't the goal anyway. Not to have a life free of trouble and sorrow, difficulty and challenge. The goal is that the trouble, that the sorrow, that the difficulties, that the challenges not win. That's the goal. But those sorrows and troubles, that they don't rule you, that they don't control you, that they don't reign in your feelings and in your actions and in your words. The goal is that all those things that can happen, that they don't conquer you. They don't have power over you. They don't overcome you. I mean, many people would say, well, how is it possible to have those kinds of things, you know, that Paul lists there? How is it possible to know tribulation and distress and famine and nakedness and peril and sword? I mean, swords kill you. How is it possible to know those things, you know, have those things, and you still end up winning? If you have those things are going to win. How is it possible to experience those things and end up winning? The answer to that is you have received a spirit of power. So in your own mind right now, run through the relationships and the happenings of your life. You know, from relationships with family, those closest to you, friends, neighbors, co-workers, even perhaps enemies. So just run through the relationships that you have, what's going on in those relationships. Then run through the circumstances that you're encountering. Then ask yourself, should your relatives' unkind actions really be the most powerful thing in the picture? Yes, your brother's a jerk. We got it. Your brother's being a jerk. Should that be the most powerful thing that rules you, governs you, controls you, masters you, trumps everything else? It's in the picture. Should it win? Should the other person's goofy attitude conquer and rule everything for you? Should the financial pressure rule you? Should the stress of just having lots of busyness right now call all of the shots in your life? I'm really busy right now. Doesn't matter if I know the Lord, love you, I'm committed to anything. Like I'm busy, that's the ace of trump. That conquers everything else. Is the temptation to sin, temptation to stray, temptation to be lazy, is that the most powerful thing? Yes, it's there. As it tugs on you. Is it the most powerful? Does it have to be on top? I want to encourage us to learn to be people who say things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't care if there's tribulation and distress. I don't care if there's swords and perils and nakedness. All those things overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. I want those words of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't want those words to be an idle boast. I want that to be just a sober assessment of the power of the Spirit who dwells within you and say, you know what, that spirit within me, there is no power that tops his. No strength that is greater than the power of God's spirit within. I received power and the Holy Spirit moved inside. The spirit within us, I think, gives us some reasons to use victory words. The words at the end of Romans chapter 8 tend to be well known and well loved for good reason. They don't often tend to be words that really get lived out. You know, what can separate us from the love of God? We like the words. But tribulation often separates us from the love of God. And distress often separates us from the love of God. On the danger, the fear overwhelms us and controls us rather than the love of God. So it seems those things are pretty effective at separating us from the love of God. But the power of the Spirit present within can make us say, I am persuaded. I am convinced that nothing, not any of those things that can happen on earth, not any of the things that actually run those things in the next list, as you probably know, not life, not death, not angels, not principalities, high things, low things. There isn't anything out there, even beyond what I've experienced and know, you know, that can separate us from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. The power of His Spirit within. So part of walking by the Spirit is walking in power. So I hope that this encourages you and stirs you, makes you confident to say, you know what's going to come out on top next week for me? Not as long as my brother doesn't call. Or as long as my boss doesn't do the thing that my boss always does. As long as this or that, as long as the doctor doesn't call and say I have to come in for more lab work. With all the things that could happen, might happen, what will come out on top? What will win? Power of God dwelling within me by His Spirit. So I hope that stirs your heart. It's very much part of the presence of the Spirit. Just a power that transcends and is greater than the weakness of our human flesh. It's also holy. It's not corrupt. It's just greater. So I want to conclude, and I just felt like the Lord stirred in my own heart. I want to conclude leaving some kind of impression on you of, okay, it'd be good to do such and such or walk such and such way. Today I want to conclude just by praying for you. So I just want you to be on the receiving end of the prayer. And I want to pray for you the prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians, where he says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name, that according to His riches in glory, He would grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner person. So I'm going to kneel here, since Paul said that he bowed his knees. So I just want to kneel here, and I want to pray to God on your behalf that would happen to you, that you would be strengthened with power by His Spirit in your inner person. And if there's any area of life where other things have been coming out on top, other things have been winning, other things have been conquering you, it could be the words you speak, the language comes out of your mouth. It could be responses that you make in some relationship. I mean, a whole host of things. Maybe the tribulation, maybe the distress, the anxiety, the worry, that up till now that's been more powerful, that being strengthened with power in your inner person by His Spirit, the Spirit be more powerful than the distress, than the danger, than the persecution, than the attack, than the injustice that's been done to you. Those things might still happen tomorrow, but that they will be conquered, overwhelmingly so, by the power of the Spirit within you. So some area of your life where the Spirit of God has come in second, third, fourth place, maybe not even on the podium. That the Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit, would rule, govern, control, cause you to conquer. So I just want to pray for you and just ask you if you desire the presence of the Spirit within you, just to be open to being filled with the Spirit. Father, I bow my knees before you from whom every family in heaven and on earth, Father, derives its name. Father, I bow my knees before you that you would grant to these your people, according, Father, to the riches of your glory. Father, we don't even know all what that means. But according to those riches, Father, of your great glory, that you would grant to each one here to be strengthened, Father, with power by your Spirit in their inner person. That indeed your Son might dwell in him and her, and they might flourish in her, that they might be able to comprehend, Father, the greatness and the fullness and the dimensions of your love. Father, I pray that the power of your Spirit, Father, just dwelling within, Father, would cause them to overcome. Perhaps in areas or relationships or circumstances where up till now they have been mastered, they have been conquered. That through that power of your Spirit, they would overwhelmingly conquer. In the tribulation and the distress, the persecutions, Father, in the vulnerabilities, in the perils, Father, even in the threats that might take their life, your Spirit would cause them overwhelmingly conquer, that they would be persuaded that nothing will separate than ever in your love. Father, for each person open to that filling, that working of your Spirit and power within, fill them now, I ask, through Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.